The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, back in 2021, columnist, author and podcaster Anne-Marie O'Connor was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease. Well, she's here to tell us her story and about her book called Twitch, My Life with Parkinson's. Welcome to the show, Anne-Marie.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what I like about this book is that you're brutally honest, but it's not all doom and gloom. There's actually some humour in there too.
There is. I come from a very humorous family. My dad's side of the family, physical comedy. It's I Love Lucy all the way. And my mom's side is a much darker Irish sensibility. And so I kind of fit somewhere between the two. Someone once described my sense of humor as pitch black. But at the same time, the way I see it as comedy and tragedy are so tightly linked. You can choose which side of the fence that you wish to be on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can I ask what age you were when you were diagnosed?
I was 48, but I had my first symptoms that I know of at age 47. So they say with Parkinson's, it's a bit like an iceberg. By the time you present with noticeable symptoms, you may have had preclinical symptoms for anywhere up to 10 years.
It's very young though, isn't it? I think it's before 50 that they call it early onset, don't they?
That's correct. Yeah. Typically, it's something one associates, or I associated anyhow, with, you know, people in their senior years, not a fashion editor in her 40s. So that was my mistake. My miscalculation was always that it was the experience of an elderly man with the characteristic stoop, shake and shuffle. I didn't realize that there were over 40 symptoms, over 20 of which are non-motor. So not necessarily symptoms that you see. So a lot of it, you know, you have invisible symptoms, as it were, to a lot of people. It doesn't look like I have Parkinson's if my tremor is under control and my involuntary movements are under control. But they don't see the pain, the fatigue, the anxiety. You know, for some people, it's bladder or GI gut issues, or, you know, sexual dysfunction. There's, you know, dopamine, which is the chemical messenger in the brain that that's associated with Parkinson's, is what's missing. That's what is responsible for so many things. We associate dopamine with the reward center of the brain, which is in part true.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, it's responsible for movement, mood, motivation, cognition. And by the time somebody is diagnosed, they've lost 60 to 80% of the dopaminergic cells in their brain. So you're operating at quite a loss, really.
And then can that dopamine not be put back?
No, it can't. You can through medication. That's
right,
it.
Okay.
So, yeah, through medication. And also, I'd like to say lifestyle modifications really help. Like, exercise is known as like the free, you know, it's not medication. And yet it is one of these, like, it really does help. The more you move, with Parkinson's, everything slows down. It gets smaller, it gets stiffer. And so by moving and creating bigger movements, you're flying in the face of Parkinson's. You're creating that sense of dynamism. And it just, for me, like, I need to get 10,000 steps. That's just my measurement of success every day, because I feel better, Selena. I you get the endorphins going, you get that rush to the brain. Also, it's just great. Your body craves movement. And we're not talking about, and the thing with Parkinson's is, you know, it's a bit like the Goldilocks disease, you know, everything in moderation. So, like, I'm not out there doing like weights. Well, not that there's anything wrong with weights. We should all be doing weights in our 50s. But what I'm saying is, I'm not out running a marathon. I should have said that. I always joke around. I say to my sisters, if you see me running, call the police, because I'm being chased. But I'm definitely a walker. And I love where I live is really green and leafy, and everything is uphill, Selena. So
oh, wow.
I get my Yeah, so I get my exercise in that way, and I figure out ways to kind of just integrate it into my life. But medication is definitely a huge part, and it was a choice that I made because I needed to ring fence the years that I can, you know, make money and make a living and kind of live well because I am so young. And, you know, it is one of these things. It took 13 months to really get the sweet spot. Because like anything else, they start you off on like the gold standard of medication. And then everyone is different and no two people have the same combination of symptoms. They call it, my sisters laugh because they call it the boutique disease. And again, this is where our dark humor comes in. They're like, well, out of all the diagnoses you could have gotten, this one tracks. So, yeah, so it's the boutique disease. I was like, well, you know, a vintage Hermes Kelly handbag would have been preferable. But I guess this is what I'm left with. But yeah, so no two people have the same combination of symptoms. So likewise, your medication is going to be different. So it took a while for me to find the right medication because each type of medication comes with its own side effects. So there's one classification of medication called dopamine agonists that there's a 1 in 6 chance of developing what's known as an ICD or an impulse control disorder. So that can range anywhere from hypersexuality to gambling, alcoholism, you know, and people have become obsessed with hobbies. Yeah. Mm. So it's definitely a type of disease that you can't sit on the fence and be passive about. You need to be very communicative with your family, whatever your family looks like, your multidisciplinary team, you know, your GP, your consultant, your OT, your PT, whoever the people on your team are for, you know, dealing with your type of Parkinson's. And it's about being communicative, being curious, asking questions, and more to the point, being, you know, I think it's important. That's why for me, in terms of advocacy, it's important to bring up these points so that we dispel any sort of shame or, you know, people, I think in the past may have hid these things, whereas now, thankfully, we're in a society where we talk more. And the more we talk, the less things live in the dark.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. So can I ask what your symptoms were? And did you have any idea at all that it could be Parkinson's?
My symptoms, my first symptom was a frozen shoulder. I had been working on a photo shoot. It was during lockdown, in peak COVID. So in Ireland, we had quite strict lockdown because our country is so small and our healthcare system was under, you know, great duress. So there was a lift in lockdown restrictions and we were able to work. So I was working on a photo shoot and, you know, it's not as glamorous as it looks. You're lugging around heavy bags and what have you. And a few mornings later, I just remember this really heavy, dull thud in my shoulder, pain. And I couldn't work out where it came from. So I thought it must have been from carrying those bags. And I thought nothing of it. And then about a few weeks, it was getting more and more painful and stiff. And then to the point where I couldn't lay on my right side. I couldn't lift my right arm over my head. And then all of a sudden, there was like a shake in my fingers. Like, and I noticed it because it was lockdown. And we were back down to level 5. I had time on my hands. I had no schedule. I was able to listen to my body. I wasn't putting things on the long finger. You know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah. I was, yeah. And I was alone in my apartment because I live alone. So I noticed the amplitude increase. I called my sister and I said, I'm really worried. And she said, it's probably just a trapped nerve. Look, see your GP when the country reopens. And that was 5 months later. And then what transpired over the course of about 8 months were 3 MRIs that all came back clear. But in the meantime, I had acquired severe muscle cramping in my feet, restless legs, stiffness, slowness. And I was writing Christmas cards right before I had gone to the hospital to have my final kind of examination that I'll get onto in a moment. And I was writing Christmas cards and my handwriting was really small and cramped. And I was like, these look like ransom notes. I'm like, I'm going to have to, I ripped them up and I put them in the bin. I was like, that is not my handwriting. It was as if somebody else is writing them. And my right hand, more worryingly, began to cup in words, making it really difficult to do simple things like brush my teeth, put on makeup, things like that. And my GP called and said, this is not... I told her about she said, your brain scan came out clear. I had a brain scan, a scan on my neck and spine, and a scan on my shoulder, which had ruled out immediately any idea that it could have been a trapped nerve. My head never went to Parkinson's, Lena, because I'm young. And I just thought, of course, it's not Parkinson's. And I was worried about things like COVID. I had started perimenopause. I was worried about finances. The last thing, I think it could have been my brain's way of protecting me, going, don't go there. That's not a good road. You've got other things to be worrying about. And in truth, I didn't think like it was Parkinson's. And she said, look, your scans came out clear. That's not consistent with these symptoms that you're now experiencing. I'm going to send you to Cork University Hospital tomorrow to the acute medical center. You'll be there for the day. Bring a book. You'll be there at 9. You'll see a nurse, a doctor, a few neurologists. And that's exactly what happened. I saw the man who would be my consultant neurologist. And, we went through the origin story of my symptoms. He did several tests. He consulted with his colleagues and he said, you've got early onset Parkinson's. Oh. And I'm still like, when I replay that in my head, I was just dumbstruck. And he said, there was an empty chair and I was standing at the time. And he was like, take a seat, please sit down. Because I was just completely jarred by the news. And when he was telling me though, I was taking it all in as if I was a PA to Anne Marie O'Connor. It wasn't me, and I was listening to everything. I got a crash course in what Parkinson's was. I knew about Michael J. Fox, the actor who was diagnosed, and he was 29, but that was the extent of my knowledge. And like I said, the misconception of it being the experience of an elderly man, not realizing that approximately 40% of all Parkinson's diagnoses are for women, Really? So like it's like, early onset, obviously we're a much more niche crowd, a cohort, if you will. It's about 10 to 20% of all people with Parkinson's, which is smaller, But 40% is significant, in my opinion, anyhow. And then I came back a week later and he asked me to bring an extra set of ears, as he put it. And my best friend came with me. And then he's just an amazing man. He's so empathetic and he really understood because he knew me because I work in media in Ireland. And so he was familiar with, he's like, I'm familiar with your work.
That's nice. Oh,
thank you. That's nice. And he said, you've got dreams and hopes and wishes. Like these can't come crashing down around your feet. You can live well with Parkinson's with early onset. It is slower. It does play catch up. So he gave me all the ins and outs and told me about advances in medication and the practicalities of taking medication versus not taking it. The fact that you will get side effects, there is a likelihood, which I did. I got something called dyskinesia, which is quite common. Mine isn't as pronounced as a lot of people that I see with dyskinesia. There are spontaneous involuntary movements in my shoulder. So my tremor in my hand, which was quite, it's still problematic, if I'm honest, from time to time. But I'm on, this is where habituation comes in. I've had Parkinson's that I know of for 5 years, even though I was diagnosed in 2021. September 2020 was my first symptom. So, right. Really and truly, I've had it for 5 years. And around the 5 years, they say that's your honeymoon period, that it's over. And my gosh, they were right. I noticed that my tremor was acting up again. And so I went to my consultant, because my consultant has retired, so I have a new wonderful, equally wonderful consultant. And she said, she's, you know, we've fixed it with new medication, but it's always a question of, you know, you live with this for the rest of your life. So it's not a one and done deal. You're always like keeping a diary. They say it's important to keep a diary of your symptoms and anything that's a bit off. Timing, like everything is down to milligrams and minutes. Like you have to take your medication on time, and you have to know if, for instance, my tremor is acting up. I need to know when it's acting up. They want to know, is it 15 minutes before your next dose? Is it an hour before your next dose? When is it? So, and how often? Because you look for patterns. So you become a little scientist. It's like you're there with your book and your pen. But like, you know, it sounds like I'm minimizing it, but it's a full-time job. It's like having a baby. Well, it's like having a new person.
I tell you what, you look amazing because we're on Zoom now and I'm looking at you and you look absolutely incredible. So
thank you.
Like you say, you don't know these things. I have learned so, so much in this last 15 to 20 minutes. What I would like to ask you is, I've got your website up. I know that you're a columnist, you're a podcaster, and obviously now an author as well. Are you still doing the fashion?
I'm still the fashion editor for the Irish Examiner, but I don't do styling anymore.
Right.
Because I always say it's problematic for me, because one of the big things of Parkinson's is energy management. Fatigue is a huge problem, and I get very fatigued. And when you've experienced stress, your tremor gets worse.
Right.
So I can't be in situations where I'm under huge pressure, like during catwalk shows or whatnot. So that had to end. Yeah.
But you have written other books, The Happy Closet and The Happy Medium. What are they about?
The Happy Closet is about finding the well-being. The tagline is well-being is well-dressed. It's about finding your happy medium in terms of clothing. Like, who are you? What are clothes that you want to wear? So we're not dealing with a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear. I worked for so many years with women clearing out their closets, and clearing out my own, may I add, that
I think I need to borrow you to help me clear out mine.
But I was like a circus performer. I had dresses to go to balls, and I had nothing to go down into the shops and get a pint of milk. And I was on, the irony was, I was on TV, this is going back so long ago, clearing out people's wardrobes, and mine was, I was the biggest offender. So I was constantly, I was spending so much money on clothes. And like, I know it's part of my job, but you know, God, you know, I definitely took it seriously. So I wanted to get to the bottom of like why we shop, why we hoard, because I noticed that there are certain women who didn't want to get rid of anything. Other women who looked like they were dressing 12 different people, you know. So I break it down into closet types, tell you which type you are, and then kind of prescribe the remedy for how to go about finding your own personal style. And again, like anything else, it's something that you adapt over time. Like, our lives change every couple of years, and so naturally our style is going to change with that as we get older, if we have kids, you know, that sort of thing. Even if we move, like I lived in the city, I moved out to the suburbs, and I'm like, I'm wearing these full length, you know, checked trench coats and loafers. And I'm like,
very different.
Everyone's wearing Lululemon. And I'm like, okay, I've got to change.
Oh, yeah. Bless you. Well, I mean, you're an inspiration. I know that you're an advocate for Parkinson's and you're doing a very good job. Just to tell our listeners, the book is called Twitch, My Life with Parkinson's by Anne-Marie O'Connor, who we're chatting to now. And we're selling it right now on our website, tre.radio. If people want to find out more about you, Anne-Marie, do you have website as well?
I do. It's annemarieoconnor.me, or you can find me on Instagram at the worst handle in the world. It's AOCDOTME, AOC.me.
AOC.me, Anne-Marie. Okay. Yeah, okay. Got you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep up the good work. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.